Starby and Dan Schreiber.
Paint my legs light green and place me in a bamboo patch full of hungry pandas. We're back!
What's going to happen then?
I don't know.
If you're painted green, what? Are you planning to get eaten or cuddled?
Who knows? Who knows? These are the experiments that need to be done.
The world awaits. The world awaits news.
So here we are. It is November. I believe the last one we did... Actually, that was November as well. We're losing track again because it feels like we're going off week. We were weekly. Mm. Now we're sort of week and a halfly.
Well, but things keep happening, right? We get like we're trying our hardest, but life is very busy for all of us,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's true. UK's back in a big lockdown. So, you know, Dan's clearly got more free time.
How does that work? Hang on.
He's growing a beard. He's beard heavy, everybody.
Yeah, I'm face gardening every day. It's my new hobby.
Wow. Is that for
face
the winter?
Gardening.
It is. Yeah, it's very cold here now, and I've lost all motivation in life. So that's also it's a combo of winter and no dreams.
Don't give up, man. We'll keep you going. Each week, don't forget, guys, we've got to get together not just for the world, but our own mental health.
Yes, that's so true. And so if it wasn't Dan being busy because he's in lockdown, Reese, what have you been busy?
Oh, I'm always busy. You know me. I've been pushing my third children's book, Buttons McGinty, The Intergalactic Notes. Dan's got a copy.
There it is. Look at that.
All
I've got a copy too.
UK.
It's just off camera. My one's just slightly off camera here. It's here.
So if you guys out there haven't received my books yet, it's because you haven't paid for them. I mean, they're not free, but please order them online. Or if you're in New Zealand or Australia, they're in the bookstores. This is the third in the trilogy. And not only is there Morse code to work out, but also hieroglyphs in this one.
Wow.
They end up on a planet where there's hieroglyphs and they've got to work out, the location of the mother.
Oh, wow.
Well, clearly this is the reason why we haven't recorded religiously within a week this time, because you've been so busy pushing your third book that you're actually pushing it now
on the show.
Show.
I'm still pushing it.
Oh, my God, he doesn't
stop. I'm still
stop.
Pushing it.
It's still going. You're so busy, you're still doing what you were doing.
This is the final push. and that's all I've got time for this week, guys. So don't forget, Buttons McGinty, available now. All good bookstores.
Well, can I point out, because I've been reading the series, I'm on book two at the moment, and this is something I mentioned to you guys, but I think it's worth saying for the show. I've been thinking about Buttons's controversial update segment on the show. You know,
something
a bit fishy about it to me always. Where did he get it from? Buttons has this barnstorming idea. Where did he get it from?
Yeah.
Did he have it on his own? Well, I'm reading Reese's book, and I discovered that Buttons has stolen the update segment from another Buttons. Yes.
No! That's not true.
You've
Where's
stolen it from
Where's
Buttons McGinty. That's right.
That's
because
where he got it from.
In the book, it's packed with constant updates. Look, update section.
Yeah.
See this here? You plagiarized. You plagiarized from another Buttons.
But okay, back that truck up for a second. Where did the idea of Buttons come from?
So this is the chicken
Buttons
and egg situation.
Oh, my God. Did he steal it from me or did I steal it from him?
Wow.
I mean, he basically stole me.
Who knows?
So.
He's named after you, but, you know, is it you? It's a character from the 80s. It could be. I imagine it's kind of an amalgamation of us when we were young, and I used the name. But as far as the update, you know, the whole book, written entirely by me, of course, did not conspire with Leon in any way.
It's called inspiration, guys. It's not plagiarism. It's inspiration, okay?
Inspirationism.
I was art inspiration. Now, guys, can I just say we've got a bit of a challenge because today is Wednesday. We put the last podcast out like a weekend ago, so like a week and a half ago. So, and it normally takes me 2 days worth of painful, very time consuming editing to be able to make, because we record for like 2 hours, 2 hours. Wow. Have to make it an hour because nobody would ever listen to 2 hours of us. But the problem is that I'm busy for a couple of days, so I can't edit for a couple of days. Oh. So if we, for me editing, this won't make it out for like 2 weeks and we'll break our record.
We need it out now.
Yeah. So here's an idea.
Quit your job.
No. Well, that's an option. Yes. Either one of you guys edit it.
Well, we're on Patreon now. Surely you're raking it in.
Oh, it's so much money. You guys would have no idea. Which is the point.
We
you
haven't
guys
seen
have
it.
No idea. You got no login. Not giving you the login. You have no idea. But what I'm suggesting then is why don't we do this in unedited issue, like full-on live-to-air, no editing. We have to get it done and out within an hour of starting, which is, okay. I don't know, how long have we been talking for already?
About 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh. What do you
We're
reckon?
5 minutes Can in. We do all right, it? So, okay, yeah. So you're saying let's go all the way through so you don't really have to edit this.
Yeah, we just put it out.
No mistakes, no ums and ahs.
Yeah.
From like, now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can try.
We can try. Should we try?
Let's try.
We have to start a stopwatch. We have to try and smash it all out and try and, like, do it with an hour. Who's going to watch?
Okay, me. I've got the timer on now.
Beep. Well, this is... Beep. Can we do it? Beep. Do you think we can do it?
Well, if we get on with
racing
it.
Racing this time and the three of them. A chatting away, asking whether they can do it, and I don't know who's going to win this race. I've got an hour left in the show, and they're umming and ahhing, and they've got to come up with the stories. They haven't done any stories yet. The guy down the bottom's got a big beard. The one on the left-hand side's talking away. He's got big headphones on like he's in a helicopter. The one on the right's doing all the commentating for no reason. He's wasting time on the show. Coming around the corner now, and they're going into the Weekly World Red News. Here it is!
Yay! Weekly World Red News!
It's crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
Oh, hey, and we're off.
What do we got? Oh.
I got
dead air. Oh, God, we're
and
doing
we haven't got time
good.
To laugh at dead air. We've got to do the headlines.
Okay, sorry. Okay, here we go.
I got two options. Oh, yeah, Reese, you go.
The Air Force is putting death rays on fighter jets.
What?
Yes, death rays.
Wow.
Ooh, okay.
That's awesome.
I've got two for you to pick from. You can pick one of it.
Okay.
One of these.
Number one. We haven't got time for picking.
Well, no, because it's worth it. We want the better story. If we're not editing, we need the better version.
True.
Story number one. Man tries to escape from FBI with underwater sea scooter.
Oh, I love it.
Option one.
Oh.
And
it.
Option two.
That's
wife,
a good option.
Wife spends thousands on vet bills after husband blames farts on the dog.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, the second one pretty much is summed up in the headline, so I don't need to divulge into that one. My pick would be, although that is very funny, my pick would be number one.
Okay,
sweet. We'll go for that.
Buttons,
what's your headline?
I, funnily enough, have two options for my headlines as well because I spent a very long time researching and I can't choose as well. And funnily enough, my first option is also about flatulence. My one, Vienna man fined 500 euros for deliberate massive flatulence.
Fines 500 euro. Oh, fine.
500 euros.
He's fined. I thought you say he fines it. He fines 500 euros after he does a fart.
It's a lucky fart. No.
The weirdest detective. It's the oddest Columbo.
Can you just fart again?
Look, he's really good at what he does, but it gets a bit smelly.
Can you just
in
fart
him.
Again, honey? I need to buy a new washing machine, and it's just fart twice because it's 1,000 euros. Oh, found Ka-ching! It. Thank you. No, he is fined by the police €500 for deliberate massive fart. Or
That's ridiculous. Oh man.
Or
yeah,
the next one is man falls inside footpath, trapped with rats underground for half an hour.
Oh yeah, I heard about this. Yeah, it was a sinkhole, wasn't it? Yeah.
Which is pretty disgusting. And worrisome.
Okay, well, I wonder what the listeners would want. I mean, I think let's, you know what, Buttons? Let's go. Let's start. We've already kind of started with it. Let's start with your farty news and just you carry on with it.
Well, your farty news is very much my bag as well. So I think that's a wise choice. Okay, so this is in Vienna, Austria. The Austrian police fined a man.
Vienna. Sorry, I haven't got time for that.
How much time have we got left, by the way? How long have I got for this story?
Let's see. You've got.
I'm worried we're going to go too quickly and end up with only a half an hour show because we're so nervous around the time limit.
Well, we're 10 minutes
okay.
in. Here we go.
It's good that we're just getting on with it, right? And not questioning it every second as we go.
Okay. It'll be half an hour of content and half an hour of questioning whether we can do it in time.
Including that bit, which you didn't need to say. Just carry on.
Oh, man, it's hard. Okay. Austrian police fined a man €500 for loudly breaking wind after officers stopped him earlier this month to check his identity. The police defended this massive fine, saying he had deliberately emitted a massive fart, lifting his buttocks off from the bench from where he was sitting. The accused complained of what he called the disproportionate and... Oh, the accused...
We haven't got time for this stuff.
God damn it. He says it was an unjustified fine because he just had built up wind and he needed to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's what happens.
Yeah.
But where was he? He wasn't in court or anything, right?
He was on a park bench. The police came along and said, give us your identity. We want to see who you are.
Well, hang on. How can they do that? Is that a thing? ID has to be given if you're asked. Excuse me, mate, please. I mean, what is this?
Probably.
Well, where are your papers?
Well, I thought...
You're under a vest! You're under a vest! Wish his ass was under a vest.
Well, I thought, Shribes, you could probably shed some light here because isn't your grandfather, wasn't he Austrian?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Does he know anything about...
Is there strict laws over there?
He's never told us why he ended up in Australia. It could be some sort of deportation for shitting himself on a park bench. I don't know. I don't know what the levels of trouble you get into there for. He's never sort of just told us tales of minor fines that you can get for things. So I don't know. It doesn't, I agree with Reese. It sounds a bit odd that they would just ask for ID and then fine someone for farting.
I think this guy, it says that he was being provocative and uncooperative in general. And
hang
the
on,
police
provocative? That sounds to me like he was doing a bit of, ooh, hello, officer. Ooh, who's got a bottom? Ooh, what's going to come out of my bottom?
Look, please. Oh, that is uncalled for. 500.
A quick 500.
Who's been fined?
Well, the interesting thing is that the police are now having to defend themselves because that's like €500 is so much money.
Lot.
And they said, so they said in their defense, he said he slightly raised himself off the bench, looked directly at the officers, and patently, in the complete deliberate way, emitted a massive flatulence in their immediate proximity. Isn't it funny that you're having to, the cops having to write the police report and trying to use big words like immediate proximity and massive flatulence?
And provocative.
Provocative, trying to use as big words as they can to make it sound. I think they
he was
just got pissed off that he did a big fart.
Yeah, I think it's out of line.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see what the real laws are there, because if it's like the rest of the world, you know, there's a saying which my mother always used to say, wherever you be, let your air flow free.
Oh.
And, you know, it means that it's just part of nature. It is what we do. So when you make some noises when you get up off the all that as you get older and all that. You know, my nana used to walk around the kitchen farting. She didn't even realize it, you know, when she was in her 80s. It just falls out.
Well,
she
used to walk. I know that feeling. A couple of times I was in a shop the other day and I was standing there and I thought it was going to be a silent one. And then it made a little bit of noise. It wasn't smelly, but it was. Yeah. It made a little bit of noise. And the shopkeeper was like, we both looked at each other. And I just had to sort of like slowly sort of shuffle away because it was so embarrassing. I'm like, I shouldn't be embarrassed. Oh, if I did a burp, it'd be nobody would say anything.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly another good point. How much you get fined for burps in Austria?
See?
Is that equal? I'm taken aback by that. I'm taken aback.
I'm really regretting talking about my farting in the hardware store story now because I can't edit it out.
I like the idea that you did it and then no, you can't edit that out now. And the shopkeeper and you, you both look at each other, and then he slowly points up to a sign above the exit door which says the fining for farts. $500 and you slowly shuffle away going, oh, wasn't me.
I really hope the shopkeeper's a listener of this show and he wakes up his wife in the middle of the night as he's listening to her going,
I knew it was that guy.
Schweinhorn.
I had to change all the carpets because of that fart.
All right, that's all we have time for on that one.
Yeah.
Very good, very interesting. And yeah, if any listeners are out there get to the bottom of the law situation in Austria for us, that would be amazing because it doesn't sound right.
Doesn't quite.
But
sound
it does. It does sound rather wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go, guys. Now, this next report, the death rays attached to fighter jets. Finally, it's happening.
Exciting.
This is in the States. Lasers will be attached to, and it's for older fighter planes, to keep them alive while flying through the deadly skies. So the US Air Force... it wants to put laser weapons on fighter jets by the mid-2020s.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's basically so they're going to be able to shoot down other aircraft and also anti-aircraft missiles and things like that with actual lasers. It's a system called TALWS, or Tactical Airborne Laser Weapon System. A pod-mounted laser developed by Lockheed Martin on behalf of the Air Force Research Laboratory. Mounted on the fuselage or wing of a fighter jet, the TALWS would and could shoot down incoming air-to-air and surface-air missiles. It's quite frightening because what it is the start of spaceships with laser guns.
Yeah.
Choo, 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 choo. Mm.
Yeah, X-wings.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they call it? Did the article call it death rays, or did they? Are they calling it a death ray?
I got this from Popular Mechanics, and they are calling it death rays. So you know, it really is just lasers. But it sounds good, doesn't it?
But it does sound good. But it does lend itself to that conspiracy theory around Nikolai Tesla actually developing the death ray as a weapon, and then. You know, basically destroying it and getting rid of all the plans because he didn't want to introduce that into the world. And then the Nazis going to try and find those plans during World War II to try and develop the death ray. And they're being, they said that the US government had actually gone in after Tesla's death and taken those plans and were developing it in secret. Maybe this is Tesla's technology that they've actually kept secret for years. And they're now finally bringing it out. It's now time.
I think possibly just you're basing that on the two words death rays. But I think, as I stipulated, nice it was just an added feature to the headline. They're really just lasers. And I think the reason for them is, yes, we do have lasers now. And the newer aircraft that they're building and that they're going along with, which is things like F-22 Raptors, F-35 Joint Strike Fighters, things like that, they are not going to have them. It's really for the older ones to keep them alive, like F-16s, F-15s. So those are ones, and the A-10 Warthogs, those are those tank busters. Remember them? They're real cool. So those, all the US have so many of these planes, and the real fast modern ones that have stealth technology can get away from the real fast Russian and Chinese ones, but the older ones can't. So they're putting lasers on the older ones to be able to deal with them.
And what is a laser? I don't actually fully know what a laser is. Like, is it?
Well, I mean, have you seen the James Bond movie where there's a laser coming up between his legs? And Goldfinger is there, and there's this laser, this light, a beam of light, which is literally cutting anything in its path. So a laser
will cut planes in the distance.
Yeah. So a laser will shoot out at a very, very fast pace, and it was just a line of laser like that, and if you keep it on an object for long enough, it will completely destroy it. So they will heat seek target with the lasers on a aircraft going by, and the laser will move with the aircraft, and it would literally laser it in half.
Oh wow. So it will just it will sort of pick its point on it, and no matter where it moves, it's got the ability to
It'll just keep on it, and it'll have there's no kind of restriction on distance of the laser, so it could be really, really far. You've seen those little laser pointers that people have, and they point a laser pointer at aircraft and stuff, and there's no distance on them, so that, you know, they're a real hazard to airline pilots. And so forth, but yeah, I've got to end on this.
Did you know? Just quickly asking what a laser is. I just looked it up. Do you know that laser is actually an acronym?
Oh, tell us.
And it stands for light
amplification.
Amplification? No, it's a hard word. I'll give that to you.
Light amplification.
Amplification.
Amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
Wow, I did not know that. Can you say it one more time, Button? What is it again?
I can't even say it one time, let alone one more time. Light amplification. There you go.
Yes!
Why did you try it again? You got it.
It's, if you slow down, you can get through it. It's
amplification. 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 Amplification.
We haven't got time for this. We're going to have to move on. We're going to have to move on. I'm sorry. You're going to get hit by a laser.
Oh, no, please.
Got him.
I got a quick thing to say, though, about this, which is that if you were doing that, you need for your enemy to not notice you so you can get as much time as possible in order to burrow in with the heat of the laser and slowly separate them apart.
Yeah.
And weirdly, I've just been reading just before we started this book called The Sense of Being Stared At. And this is a question I want to put out to our listeners, as well as finding out whether or not farting in Austria gets you a fine of 500. Whether or not this is true, because the author of this book says that in the Second World War, RAF fighter pilots were advised not to stare at an enemy pilot. So if they're flying over them or behind them, getting ready to shoot them, never to stare at an enemy pilot when preparing to shoot him down. The intensity of the gaze has been known to make the enemy pilot look straight around at the attacker as if they know they're being stared at, which is what this whole book is about, the sense of being stared at. Why do we suddenly turn around sometimes when we think that we're being stared at? And he claims that in World War II, they were told that as pilots, not to stare at the enemy, which is
It totally makes sense. Well, how many times have you guys felt like you've been looked at? You know, when you walk through a room or something, you can feel someone's gaze and you do turn around. And lo and behold, yes, there's 10 to 15 fans there. with your book, Buttons McGinty 3, wanting it signed.
That happens to me all the time. Well, remember there was an episode that we did when David Farrier was on the show in those old days.
Oh, that's right.
Where we stared at each other, and just if in a low lit room, you keep staring at each other and staring at each other, and then your whole face starts, the other person's face starts to morph and do really weird things because your brain just,
and you get high, don't you?
Yeah,
that was
that's what they say. Awesome. You get high. Yeah.
Well, that's a different. Yeah. I mean, that's a different thing again. I guess it kind of linked to it, but it is different.
It's completely different.
Staring.
That's
was
just looking
involved.
At each other. That's it. That's
no.
Their staring is involved.
No.
But not really, is it?
No. What it could be is rather than just visually, it may just be that you are being so overwhelmed with all of the rays of notice me, somebody is staring at you.
Let's do a little experiment now while we're on air here because we don't have time. But Buttons, you look off to your right.
Okay.
Okay. Look off to your right now. Yep. Now, so you're not looking at us. Now we're going to look. Dan and I will look over to our right, so we're not looking at you. And what I'm going to do is, Dan and I will turn at a given choice of our time and look at you, Buttons. And when you think that we're looking at you, you say now and swing around and see if we're looking at you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So just to let the listeners know, we've got Buttons looking to his right, Dan is looking to his right. I'm going to now look to my right, and then. Anyway, well, I've overproduced it. We know what's going on. So here we go. Now I'm looking away.
Now. No. Now.
Neither of us were.
Now. Ah, I got it.
I only looked around because I was worried about time and editing.
And it was getting really boring.
Yeah. I could sense when you were going to turn around and say now, because I know you so well. I thought, he's not going to be able to stand this more than 3 or 4 seconds. And so
I was worried more about our poor listeners having to listen to silence.
Well, no, you got a little bit of silence is nice after hearing you for a while, and then they got an abrupt now. Oh, no. No. And of course, Dan and I were not interested in turning around to look at you. So it was hard for us.
I just felt there wasn't enough attention on me for too long. It was nobody was looking at me.
Your turnarounds and the nows were just you wanting us to look at you.
Please, now. Please,
now.
Guys, please look at me.
Now. Why not?
All right, let's move on to Dan's story.
Yes, so man tries to escape from FBI with an underwater sea scooter.
Wow.
So this is a story that happened in California. A man who was being chased by the FBI because of an alleged $35 million Ponzi scheme was being chased by them. And he was in his truck and he was being chased. And then he abandoned the truck. That says he abandoned the truck near the edge of Lake Shasta, pulled something out and swam into the lake. And then he spent 25 minutes under the water trying to escape them on a Yamaha 350 Li submersible.
Wow.
At speeds of, I think it's 4 miles an hour. So he was trying to get away from them. You can go to 100 feet below the surface. So he probably could have, you know, got a bit of distance and a bit of, you know, what direction is. What he probably didn't count on is that they could trace where he was going by the huge amount of bubbles that were coming up to the surface from him breathing.
Oh, no. Did he have an aqualung on? Like, he must have had a breathing apparatus.
He must have, right?
Yeah, because he did 25 minutes and he eventually had to come up because the lake is so cold that he was just freezing.
Yeah.
And they caught him. So
did he gain any distance? Where did he go? Was he just under the water going nowhere?
They don't say.
Was it a lake or a river?
It was a lake, I believe. Lake Shasta.
Because you'd think at least he'd want to sort of get to the other side of the lake. That would be a full getaway. And then come out, and then probably they're waiting at the other side as well. But if he was just sort of under, it reminds me of those Tintin books when you're under the river with a reed, you know, and you're little breathing through a piece of bamboo. That's a nice callback to the start of the show. you're breathing through someone's light green leg.
What the strange thing is, was it just pure chance that whilst he was being chased by the FBI, he had the gear in his car, or did he have the gear in his car in the event that he was going to get chased by the FBI? Like, was it his getaway scheme?
Oh, it's got to be the getaway scheme.
It's got to be the getaway scheme, and the fact that he drove to a lake specifically. I mean, 4 miles an hour. What he thought was he could get there before they saw him get there.
Yeah.
They would see the van open. They might see footprints towards the lake. Yeah. They didn't know he had an apparatus, and they thought he's drowned in this lake and maybe he would fake his death. Unfortunately, they saw him dragging this Yamaha submersible into the lake.
That is really funny.
And then followed the bubbles. Good. Yeah,
he's been watching too many James Bond movies. I think that's the general gist of it.
But I mean, good on him for an original getaway. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe next time bring a jetpack or a microlite that can come out the back of his truck and he can fly off a cliff. But yeah, that would be my advice for next time. In fact, it's almost worth buying one of those kind of apparatuses or apparati, so you can have it in the back of your getaway vehicle if shit does hit the fan and you've got to make a bolt. We've all watched enough James Bond movies to know which ones work and which ones don't. I don't think he's ever escaped in a aqua scooter.
No, he did.
Because they're not cool.
He did.
For a start.
Well, he did have a car that turned into an actual submarine. So that maybe is his. Once he's out of prison, that's the way you can go. Also.
Well, these things kind of look like, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen them. So when I pictured a scooter, I thought a sort of like motorbike looking thing. But it's. Remember in Baywatch, the little life thing that David Hasselhoff and everyone would run in with?
Yeah.
It's one of those where you hold it in front of you and it propels you like a bodyboard.
I really want one of those. If anybody's looking for a Christmas gift for me, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I want one too. I've wanted one for a while.
Oh, there you go. If there's any underwater scooter companies out there that want us to try getting away from the FBI more successfully, you know, we'll have a crack.
On that note, if there's any companies at all out there that want us to use any equipment to test out any futuristic cool shit, please let us know we will. Our podcast is one of the most popular in the world now, and we are willing to try out your equipment live on air.
To put our lives at risk.
Buttons is, put it that way. He's worth the least out of all of us.
Test pilot is my middle name. Hey, speaking of being underwater for a long time, this week as well, the longest the scuba diving event has happened. A person has stayed underwater for the longest ever.
They
set a new world record for that. And so,
how long?
Well, take a guess, because it's quite. With scuba tanks.
That's a hard one because I mean, it depends how big the tanks are.
Well, because of course there's so many risks with being underwater. Well, I mean, it's fish that's going to eat you and what have you. He was in the Red Sea. So he's not, you know, it's
not. Not to mention granddad's fingers. You know, when your fingers get wrinkly, that's the one thing that makes me want to leave the water. You know, you're swimming away. Next minute, your fingers are all wrinkly. You go, oh, I'm gonna get out of age.
He's
so for me,
great
grandfather.
Yeah.
Hey, what happens when you are an old man and you go swimming and you've got wrinkly fingers to begin with? Do they go straight when you're underwater, or do they get so bad they turn into like old tree twigs?
You know, you go from having granddad fingers to great granddad fingers. And if you're a great-granddad, you get a great-great-granddad fingers. And there's,
hey, so maybe this is the way you can time travel into the future. Go underwater for long enough and you become a great-great-great-great-granddad. You come out. Where are all my children and my children's children? I've been underwater for 20 years.
What are you? Sort of some sort of wrinkled tree branch or something.
Why did you go under there for 20 years, you old git?
Because I want to get my future travelling children.
You're an idiot, but you do have the new record.
20 years. Well, unfortunately.
So that's my guess. That's my guess. 20 years. 20 years. Yeah.
20 years. I'm going to go 7 hours.
That's probably, that's actually closer, but still it's a lot more than it's 7 hours. He was underwater for 145 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow.
No.
This guy, just under 6 days underwater.
No.
He was an Egyptian scuba diver, and he was in the Red Sea. Saddam al-Kalani, he's 29 years old. And I just thought it was like, 6 days. What do you do under? It would just get so boring.
What's he doing? I mean, is he checking? Has he got games on his phone? Has he got one of those underwater phones? What's he doing for 6 days?
Well, that's
if he's constantly exploring, tell me, how is he sleeping? He's just going to be swimming away and go, time for nanas now, and fall asleep for 8 hours?
I didn't even think about sleeping.
How would he sleep? Can you sleep underwater?
Wouldn't
he clearly can.
Is that possible?
Yeah,
because he couldn't have been awake for that long, surely.
At that point, he must have had the old bamboo leg adaption kit stuck to his thing so he could breathe.
It doesn't actually...
Can't be good for you breathing out of a tank while you're sleeping.
Well, it doesn't talk about sleeping or eating, because I also wondered how he was obviously feeding himself, but it must be through little... Maybe
don't you die if
things?
You don't drink after 3 days?
Well, he must have been. They must have been.
This
doing
is bullshit.
Something's wrong here.
Something's wrong with this article. I want to see the source. What's the source?
It's upi.com. So it's got to be. Well, no, but this guy has been in the news before because he.
It's a hoaxer.
He owns upi.com, by the seams of it. He and his fiance held their engagement ceremony underwater.
Oh, the guy's clearly a fish.
He is. He's. But 6 days, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, okay. I'm guessing then he probably just didn't eat or drink or he could have taken his thing out and he put a drink some water from another bottle or something that was airtight and put it up to his mouth and put that away and then put the other one back on.
Okay, I'm fine. I had a drink, everybody.
This medical team would be sitting there going, what did he drink? Did he drink fresh water or seawater? You wouldn't be able to tell.
Was the container he drank out of empty when he took it down there?
I think so.
Oh, he just drank seawater.
He's a fish. He's actually an actual fish.
Yeah. Hang on. He's got gills.
I'm just watching a video of it. Let's get this video on in the background buttons because it actually is. It's what I know we're pushed for time, but it's only a minute long. Can you give me sharing abilities?
You better.
Let's see.
Vienna. Sorry, we haven't got time for that.
Fill the gap.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, wow.
That's the whole team.
Wow.
We're watching. If you're on Patreon, you can see this. There's the whole team here.
Did they all stay down there for 6 days? No, just him.
I think they were there to help out. Look, there's a spot on the bottom of the seafloor, which is an official Guinness World Record spot, I guess. So look at this.
That's his bed.
That's his bed. So he's facing down in some sort of contraption that looks like a... like a washing line that he's caught himself up in.
That is freaky.
Okay, amazing.
He's got an actual underwater bed, guys. It looks like a weird washing line.
And he's got some of the lines over top of him and some of the lines under him.
Oh, and there's his water. There's his little food
Slurpee.
Pouch. It's like one of those squeezy things,
Now, he was meant to do the attempt for 150 hours, but he pulled out at 145 because of health concerns. But I think that's pretty good. Look at this. Here's his hobby.
Oh, he's painting. He's underwater painting.
He's done an underwater painting.
It looks like, that's awfully like Buttons McGinty hieroglyphs, to be honest.
It does. Yeah, book three it available really now. I tell you what, I bet it's not water paints. it's got to be enamel. Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
All right, well, there we have it. It's one of these, honestly, it's an amazing thing, but it's also one of these things that doesn't need to be done. You know, so there's a lot of
really
these human attempts
really
that,
doesn't.
You know, to do these records and things where you just go, why? I mean, okay, well done. But A, we're never going to use it, okay? There's no requirement for anyone to paint underwater. It's not, you know, unless we end up in water world where the world does end up all underwater.
It's possible.
In which case, we'll give you a call on the underwater shell phone.
Shell phone!
I didn't even know that joke was going to come out.
I see what you did. Was that an accident? She's like,
yeah, full accident. No, you can't. You have to keep that in.
Yeah. Buttons, did you slip in a – did you say, I see weed – you did that.
Oh, did you say that? Look at this.
This is how
natural this show's becoming, guys. This stuff's just coming out and not even noticing it.
Don't credit him with genius he never actually came up with. Come on now.
No, I meant to say that.
Otherwise, he'll
but
get,
listen, hey, got, just
you go.
Sorry, go on.
No.
Now I can't edit that blunder.
Well, it's good for people to see how sometimes that happens.
I'd normally edit
we
that.
Know we've been talking when we started up this podcast again for its rebirth season 15 that we were going to be in the Guinness Book Records ourselves for the fact that we've done so many consistent episodes. But I know we say that it's a bit silly to get into the Guinness World Records for something that you're not going to do, but I do know the editor-in-chief of it.
Right.
I do know Craig Glenday, who runs it and does records. I think we get him on the show and we get the Cryptid Factor into the Guinness World Records with an attempt.
Yes.
We get him on here and we do something on the show that gets us something silly, and I'm sure he'd be up for it. And he's a cool guy. He's written a book about UFOs and vampire hunting. He's very cryptid.
Okay. Well, the only thing I can think of is you know, looking at our skill set, and for me personally, it may be something like how many characters can one do in under a minute or something like that. There's got to be some record that. Or I get how slowly can someone edit a podcast? Maybe that could be. I don't know. Just throwing out ideas here.
Yeah. How long it takes someone to say, or how many goes it gets for them to say amplification?
Guys, amplification is it's not even a word. It's not even. Oh,
that was almost correct.
It's not even a word. Hey, but I love that idea. That's a great idea. Maybe we should leave it to the listeners. Hey, listeners, what do you think? What attempt should we do, listeners? See, I'm talking to
listeners. Yeah, let us know something that the three of us
How many callbacks can we fit into a show?
Oh, yes. How many? Is there a record for callbacks?
I should own that.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Funnily enough, there have been two other record attempts broken this week. Both of them pretty awesome. One of them, most raw eggs caught in somebody's mouth in a minute.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Yuck. And this guy is a little bit of a junkie. Maybe we should talk to this guy, David Rush. He's got 150 Guinness records. He does it to promote STEM education, supposedly.
Okay.
And he caught in his mouth in 1 minute. Guess how many he did?
1 minute, I'm guessing they'll be average out to one per second. So you're looking at 60.
Well, 60 were thrown. No, sorry, 36 eggs were thrown. He caught 24 of them. And 18,
way under.
18 of them were ended up unbroken.
Impregnating him.
What? Okay, and the other record that's been broken this week was a martial artist hitting tennis balls in 1 minute with nunchucks. Guess how many tennis balls? Tennis balls. It's actually ping pong balls. The title
ping pong
of,
balls. Yeah.
The title is wrong. They say tennis balls. Ping pong balls. Guess how many he hit with nunchucks in 1 minute?
So these are ping pong balls being hit at him, and he's having to deflect
That's
them
right.
with. Okay.
Yeah.
36.
You can move a. Yeah, I'm going to say 69.
34. So it's actually one of those embarrassing ones where you go, how much do you reckon these jeans cost? And and it's actually $10, and people go, $5? $7? No, they were $10. Yeah. There was a bargain. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
You know, the funny thing, we actually have a recording of this guy whacking the ping pong balls with his nunchucks. Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm going to play it for you now.
Oh, thank you.
You guys might need to help out with it, actually. So if Buttons, if you want to do the sound of the nunchucks going through the ear.
Okay.
Dan, if you want to do some exertions, some sort of karate vocalizations.
Sure.
And here come the ping pong balls now. Here they come. Time.
That's 34.
Yes, it's a new world record.
Wow, that's a cool video.
That was an awesome video. Weird how we all had different parts of that video to play.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
I can't believe it because we don't really have time for that. But anyway, that is Weekly World Weird News for this week.
Hey!
Woo.
How much time left have we got?
We have 20 minutes. So let's get into some cryptid buzz.
Ooh.
Okay, there's the sting there.
Okay, that was good.
So now...
Normally I edit the stings in. I'm not even going to be able to edit the stings in.
No, you will have to. You'll have to.
Well, maybe we don't.
Anyway, let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
Cryptid buzz.
Was that the real one, or is that one you just made up?
It's edited. Okay, I shouldn't have said all that. Now, what do we have? Well, the news I have is that I just want to give an update, which is something I own through the Buttons books, and I'm able to say it, on the big cat situation here in New Zealand.
Oh.
I found out this week that a radio station is following it, The Rock FM. The Rock, a big rock station here in New Zealand, have been kind of following the updates on the big cat situation in the South Island. We've been talking about it on the show, and they've actually sent one of their rock and roll reporters down to Hamner Springs. They sent him down there last week to see if he could find the big cat. He didn't. I watched the report. It was kind of just ended up being a silly morning rumble rock and roll report that was a waste of time. But I do have a recording here of some chap that they got on the phone who reckons he's seen a big cat in the North Island.
What?
Do you know what that
Come
means?
On.
It means it's crazy because it's one of two things. Either we have more than one big cat out there, one in each island at least, or the big cat somehow got on the ferry and came up to the North Island.
That or swam.
What's that?
Or floated on a little piece of driftwood or something.
Yeah, or an underwater scooter, let's be honest. There he goes. That's another unnecessary recording, but here's an actual. Here we go.
Now, Jason's on the phone. Jason has taken a photo of the black cat, and you're off to Canterbury, Bryce, on Friday. Thanks to Air New Zealand's Grab a Seat with your team, your crew, to try and track it down. But we haven't heard of any sightings in the North Island.
No.
And yet here's Jace on the phone. Jace, where exactly, and you sent us a photo too, where was this taken?
It was taken at the end of Coast Road in Wainuiomata.
There's so much going on in Wainuiomata. You're trying to tell me there's black cats there too?
Yeah, it's been there, right? It was a pretty big cat. I'd say it was about the size of a leopard, I'd say, at least.
Mate, when you see the picture, almost like you go, hang on, is this Photoshop? Like, it looks it's huge. And why is no one else
I know.
Why has it not been in the news that there's one of these now? It got on the Inter-Islander, it would appear.
Yeah.
It's cruising on the Inter-Islander, and it's now in Wainui. How did that happen?
I don't know. I tried to explain, but just that no one seems too keen. They just said it maybe it was someone named Coon or Man Coon cat, a large...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone in Wainui Mata would own a Man Coon.
I mean, it's pretty southern.
Yeah, it's like southern, it's very remote. No houses.
Virus, me by that, so it's definitely wasn't someone's pet. And then up in the Upper Darra Sea, the cat in the wild, and this cat, you know, was pretty big. I looked, I honestly thought it was a leopard, and I told the missus, I was like, don't move, you know, there's a leopard up there. And she kind of looked at me and went, no leopard in Wainui Mata. And well, maybe, you know, lucky I had my camera on me, and it's a pretty decent camera. I managed to get a couple of photos of it, but yeah, it's been very large. No, when I was a kid, I used to, me and my dad, we used to go into the Aronga Rongas.
Anyway, I think we've given him far too much airtime there, but the Arongarongas. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, good, because we can't edit that. So that was just me recording the radio station while I was driving along, taking my kid to school.
That's clever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the innovative kind of rustic 2x4 methods of the cryptid factor to get things done.
The interesting thing is with that, though, is it sounded exactly like you had recorded it in your car whilst you were driving along. And then played it from your phone through your microphone. It sounded really
amazing.
Terrible.
Wow. Yeah. Good. So how many levels? This is like a photocopy of a photocopy. How many levels of
I think it's four levels down.
And by the time it gets to the listener's ears, it goes through their headphones into their ears. And it's another
the
couple
internet,
of levels.
Their computer, that's another six levels. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know whether anyone will be able to hear that.
Actually hear that.
It probably just comes out like this. Oh, well, there we have it. So there's proof. But I find that interesting that, you know, this is the bottom of the North Island in Wellington, and there's a sighting there. This chat also has a couple of photos. So there's either a population of big cats in both islands or you know, and let's... And I was thinking as I was listening to the, you know, and it made sense to me that, of course, cats do love jumping on things.
Yeah.
A cat could easily head up to Picton at the top of the South Island, jump on a ferry in the middle of the night, hide somewhere. They're really good at, like, hiding in amongst things. That's what cats do.
That's true.
Could easily end up on a boat, end up on the other island.
Yeah. And they're clever. They're sneaky.
They are. And they're not caught. And it's going to be so hard to capture them because, cats in the wild are very good. They play a game called Tiger in the Grass. You might have heard of this. This is where they go down very low when they're hunting their prey and stuff.
Yeah.
And you really can't see them. And they do that a lot. And they do that just in general to not be caught. These big cats, they think, you know, of us as definitely enemy, something that's going to stop their lives because we're bigger and we're loud and their idea for living is to certainly keep away
from us.
And
that technique of going down is also going to be very useful for evading the ticket inspector on the ferry, isn't it? When
I
might use
tickets,
that
please. Here we go. Where are you?
I actually have to go to Christchurch and come back up from Christchurch in a few days' time.
Okay.
And I really one of the things that I was actually not excited about that was paying for a ticket on the ferry because I'm like, it's so annoying. You've got to get over this big piece of water, the islands. So if I – was it called Tiger in the Grass?
Yes.
If I the grass onto the ferry
– Yes.
And then
or the other word, the other term is commando crawl. The same type of thing, yeah.
No.
So you're
tiger in the grass is way
sounds cooler.
It's way cooler. Tiger into the grass on. And then maybe I'll go unnoticed.
Yeah.
I'll get a free ride.
Good luck with that. I can just hear the guy on the ferry.
Hey, we've got a weird looking guy doing Tiger on the Grass up the ramp. And he's actually doing it through the people that are waiting in line. and he's getting in the way.
No, nobody can see me. Nobody can see me.
There he go. Yeah, and he's clearly visible. Hey, excuse me. Big bloke with headphones doing Tiger in the Grass. You're not the first one to attempt that, mate.
The last one was actually a tiger. He actually got away with it. But you, not you, mate, not you.
Yeah.
Either that or I wait for a truck that is carrying a lot of grass from the South Island to the North Island.
Here we go.
And then I actually tiger in the grass. In actual grass.
Does that happen a lot?
That's what's
missing.
There's
a lot of grass transfer from the islands in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. South Island grass, you pay a lot of money for South Island grass. It's very
premium grass. We've got Dickhead in the grass. We've got him. He's Dickhead in the grass in the back of a grass truck.
Well, I just figured grass is the one thing missing from our strategy of Tiger in the Grass. So,
honestly, I think you're better off hiring 5 aqua scooters. And when the time runs out on each one, you grab another one out of your backpack and shoot through with that.
And discard
you're going to have to be Guinness Book record trained for underwater scuba capabilities. So this all ties in with the episode, guys.
It was our intention all along. This thing without editing, it's much better.
Amazing.
Like, but see, the problem with that is the ticket on an inter-islander ferry is about $300 or so.
What?
The cost of one scooter is about $1,500 times 5. That's lots of money, more than – so it's a good idea.
Yeah, but it comes from the mindset of that idiot that obviously, you know, tried to escape using his scooter where money is no object.
Exactly.
He's thieving it all the time or whatever it is.
Because he Ponzi'd it all the
way. Well, you could always dip into that Patreon money that Reese and I don't see any of. your ticket?
Guys, I'm saving it up. I'm keeping it safe for us, guys. I'm investing it very wisely.
Okay.
I'm for our research vessel.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So it's safe. Don't you worry. I've got it very safe.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And unfortunately, we don't have much time to discuss more prospects and dreams. Is there any more cryptid
buzz?
Yes,
I got a story. My story this week, a person in Scotland has been hit by a large salmon, which was chucked at him by Bigfoot.
Oh.
What?
What?
So, how do you get this stuff? I've been searching for hours for cryptid news. I can't find a skerrick, and you come up with something golden that. Where do you get your sources?
I have a source, Paul Seaburn from Mysterious Universe. He delivers so much on that website. And actually, I just read his bio. I don't know him. I'm just reading his articles. But I've just discovered in reading his bio that he actually has a podcast called What in the World, which looks at all this stuff. So I think what I'm doing is I'm just nicking his material from his podcast for ours. So apologies to Paul. I had no idea. But having said that, let's crack on with his story. This is something that was written about by a British Bigfoot researcher called Hatswell, and she's the founding member of the British Bigfoot research team, and she's a respected researcher over here, and she was told a story by a relative, and it was a relative's friend that this happened to. Colbin Forest, which is 25 miles east of Loch Ness, is apparently a place where a lot of happenings occur, and not just things like Bigfoot, but there's things like, where did I put it? There's ghost lights. There's all sorts of paranormal activity.
Wow.
There's shadowy figures. There's witches. There's all sorts of encounters that happen in Colbin Forest, so close to Loch Ness. And the description that was given was about this person. He saw a very large, dark shape, which stopped when it saw him and turned back into the forest. When he described the height of this shape, it was approximately 7 feet tall. It happened too fast for him to get a photograph of it, and it was over in a matter of seconds. Then, last night, as he was walking the dog, he had a large salmon thrown at him, but he couldn't see the thrower.
Wow.
He said...
Oi!
He said all was totally silent out in the forest. There were no bird sounds, no small animals, nothing. And so that's the story. The belief by Deborah Hatswell is that this could have been a Bigfoot. There's a lot of reports about tall, hairy mystery animals in the UK, which I'd not actually heard of before. There's things called the Nairn Valley Big Hairy Thing. That's the full title, the big hairy thing, or the Clavicairn's Hairy Man. There's been multiple sightings of, and this might be one of those creatures. It might not necessarily be a Bigfoot, but certainly the Bigfoot researcher has taken note of it.
Well, this strongly points towards the multidimensional theory, because when you think about these creatures just being Sasquatches or just being primates, hairy hominids that are living amongst us that are hiding, it doesn't make sense when you talk about these areas in the UK that just simply don't have the amount of range of forestry and bush that, you know, the Sierras and North America and stuff have. So therefore, these creatures could just come out of nowhere.
Yeah,
which is exciting. Which also goes, but it makes you wonder. Okay, well, you know, we don't seem to have anything here in this country. There are other countries. By that I mean New Zealand for the hairy hominid range, but there are other places that do have them that are in small locales as well. So it really is a. Yeah, it's certainly a thinking moment. Reese has had a thinking moment, and we've joined in and thought along as well.
Lucky there's no song for and Buttons has an unthinking moment, because that song would go pretty much the whole episode.
This thinking moment was brought to you by Aquascooters. Escape your past now by going underwater for up to 25 minutes. Bubbles come free.
Gotcha.
Ah, shouldn't have surfaced. Now.
But I think this.
I can't remember what I was saying, but there was a good point there. No, go down.
Colburn Forest, I think it's something that I'd quite like to look more into, being, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
She says that hikers and explorers in the past have found bones stuck high up in trees, tree logs standing upright in paths, unusual arrangements of sticks and stones, and sightings. There are sightings that happen there. So, and just the lovely thing that it's 25 miles east of Loch Ness. You know, what a mystical area. Boy. What a wonderful, you know, area to go and have a big adventure in.
We need to check it out. It's obviously an area with negative magnetic anomalies there, and that's where paranormal activity happens, where things come from other dimensions, because I think there's definitely a rift there. It's a weird zone. So that we should definitely write that down and visit that place.
And there's because there's all those sort of ley lines in the earth and the 37th parallel north of, you know, where all these kind of weird things happen and congregate. So it's clearly a hot spot that you've got to get to, Dan, as soon as lockdown is over.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also because, you know, there's this talk about when you're doing astronomy in the UK of it's too hard in most bits of the UK to see into the sky because of the lights of the cities and so on. But there's lots of patches of dark sky areas, and Scotland is a big dark sky patch for the UK. So you could see that under the cover of night, even if the forests aren't ginormous, the enveloping blackness of it could be a better hiding spot for sort of, you know, nocturnal Bigfoot activity and
creatures from another realm. And the other thing I'll say just to end this bit is that there's no way a bear will throw a salmon away.
No.
So I'm guessing, that's a slam dunk on the creature from another realm.
Yeah. And it's not near
and
water.
On that note,
it's not near water. So
where the hell did they get the salmon from? Okay, that's just really mystified me.
The fishmonger. There's fishmongers and other parallels, guys. Other universes have fishmongers. And you can buy
them.
Get
your fish. Fish, everybody. Tuppence a fish. Tuppence a fish.
Everything's
get your fish.
All of Reeves' characters. Victorian England.
Yeah, I'll have a fish. You want a fish, mate? There you go. Have one. Oi, in the face. Yeah, that's right. Give us your tuppence, mate. Give us your tuppence. Where are you from? Don't matter. Don't matter what realm I'm from, mate. Get your fish. He's gone. Wow, was he even here?
I don't know. There's no water around here.
And that's time, guys. We've actually run out of time now. So,
oh, no. Yeah, is that it?
We've hit the hour. If we go any further.
I was expecting there to be some kind of alarm or buzzer or some kind of...
Oh, yeah, good point.
That seems like quite a flat ending to... Oh, there it is.
Sorry, that was... I set that earlier. Oh, hang on. Oh, that guy's back.
Is this all just a practice for next week's attempt at the Guinness World Record of characters?
It's a bit of that, and it is also filling in time because we did have a couple more minutes.
All right.
But, yeah. So that was the unedited cryptid factor. We did it,
yes.
Guys.
Way.
Nice.
We did it.
Now, but was it any better or was it worse?
Know.
I mean, maybe this is how we do it from now on, forever.
Who knows? I don't know. There was too much pressure. You know, I could see it on your face quite a bit.
I couldn't even say some words. Like, I'm not even going to say it. Laser.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Next week, we're going to come back with another show. A different one.
That's exciting. And a little bit of a hinty treaty.
Yeah.
We're planning a cryptid factor Christmas special. So
yes.
Stay tuned.
And extra tease. You're all invited.
Oh, apart from underwater guy, he's in prison.
Yeah. No, he'll still be able to come along.
Oh, is he?
Well, with his ears. Yep.
Coming along without his ears would be worse.
You know what I mean? Be able to listen in.
Yeah,
listen
right,
in.
Right. Yeah, right.
All right.
Gotcha.
Well, goodbye, everyone.
Okay.
Goodbye. And I'll see you next week.
So long.
Bye.
So long. So long. So long. So long. About an hour, actually.
So long and arduous.